Blog Talk Radio.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. Beyond measure.
I'm going to show you how great I am. Last night I cut the light off in my bedroom, hit the switch, was in the bed before the room was dark. I'm going to show you how great I am. Only last week I murdered a rock, injured a stone, hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean, I make medicine sick. I'm going to show you how great I am.
This kid's going to be the best kid in the world. This kid's going to be somebody better than anybody ever knew.
I'm going to show you how great I am. I have wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning, throw thunder in jail. I'm going to show you how great I am. All of you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him. All of you, I know you got him. I know you got him picked, but the man's in trouble. I'm going to show you how great I am.
Because if you're willing to go through all the battling you got to go through to get to where you want to get, who's got the right to stop you? I mean, maybe some of you guys got something you never finished, something you really want to do, something you never said to somebody, something. And you're told no, even after you pay your dues. Who's got the right to tell you that? Who? Nobody. It's your right to listen to your gut. It ain't nobody's right to say no after you earn the right to be where you want to be and do what you want to do. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hit and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
We're in hell right now. Believe me. And we can stay here, get the shit kicked out of us, or we can fight our way back into the light. We can climb out of hell. One inch at a time.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. Powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same, as we are liberated from our own fear. Our presence automatically liberates others.
You know, when you get old in life, things get taken from you. I mean, that's part of life. But you only learn that when you start losing stuff. You find out life's this game of inches. The margin for error is so small. I mean, one half a step too late or too early, you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us. They're in every break of the game, every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch. We roar with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those issues, that's going to make the fucking difference between losing and dying. I'll tell you this, in any fight, it's the guy who's willing to die who's going to win that inch. And I know if I'm going to have any life, it's because I'm still willing to fight and die for that inch. That's what living is. The 6 inches in front of your face.
when I whoop him. All up here, I know you got it. I know you got it, Dick. But the man just come up. I'm going to show you how great I am.
Ask me if I have God complex.
Yo, 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 how's it going, world? My name is Peter Richardson, and I'm just playing safe with my athletes respectfully. I hope you guys enjoyed the segment that I have for you today. Like I said last week, that's how I'm going to start each week. And if you didn't know, Save with My Athletes Respectfully is a faith-based organization that is designed to prepare today's as well as yesterday's students for high-priority occupations, which include career categories that are in high demand by employers, have higher skill needs, and are most likely to provide family-sustaining wages. And today, I'm going to talk about attitude. Attitude is something individually we all can control in everyday life. It's crazy how I come across this topic today, because this lady at work, this customer at work just came at me today and just pulled me to the side, and she just was intrigued on how I treated her with such respect. So she gave me this book that I have read and gave some thoughts. So I just wanted to display for you today and give you some highlights out of this book talking about attitude. It is written by Rob Thompson. It's a very beneficial book that has influenced me tremendously. So I desire you to go get it. So please just sit back and relax your feet and just listen to what I got to say. And by the end of this show, hopefully you can take what I have to say and display it in your own life every day. So please, once again, sit back and relax your feet and enjoy the ride.
Beyond mediocrity and attain excellence in every area of your life? If you do, you must take inventory of the way you think. If you rule your mind, you will rule your life. For instance, let's start with the most basic question. How do you approach life? What is the attitude you carry into situations and challenges you encounter on a daily basis? How you respond to these fundamental questions is critical, for your life will only reflect excellence if you continually maintain an attitude of excellence. Therefore, I want to share a few principles with you that you must understand in order to take control of your poor attitude and move towards your goal of ever-increasing excellence in every area of life. Many people think good enough is acceptable, but it isn't acceptable if you want to become a person of excellence. A person of excellence refuses to limit his expectations of life and himself to just good enough. He is always motivating himself to become better, to rise higher, and to achieve more. Actually, one of the greatest enemies of excellence is the just good enough attitude. That attitude leads us straight toward mediocrity, which is the opposite of excellence. To be mediocre is to be frail, inadequate, inferior, substandard, second class, unsatisfactory, commonplace, and ordinary. This is the place where most people want to live their entire lives, because it is the place of least resistance and requires the least effort. But ordinary is also the greatest hindrance keeping people from becoming what God wants them to become. You just have to accept the fact that your pursuit of excellence will always make you a little bit different than most other people. But let me help you here. You don't have to be awesome. You just have to stay a step ahead. That is what excellence is. Stand at least one step ahead of ordinary. It doesn't take a lot. It just takes one step. It's just like a foot race. In order to beat the competition, all you have to do is be a fraction of a second faster.
But after you have won the race, your challenge is to make sure you don't lose your edge in all races that are yet to come. That's what makes you excellent. Learn to stay in that place of victory. You see, excellence is its own standard of competition. This means the continual change is a requirement, not an option, in the pursuit of excellence. Compromise and the status quo are the only acceptable to the mediocre. To those who have left their just good enough attitude, keep them in a place called ordinary. Don't ever let yourself stay in a moment that place where mediocrity reigns. Make sure your level of excellence tomorrow is always greater than your level of excellence today. Good enough should never be good enough for you. A person who maintains an excellent attitude is an individual who continually presses for more. He presses his way through obstacles. He is always reaching for a high level of excellence in every area of life. We should never let ourselves stop pursuing excellence, even when you've reached that goal you've been striving for. That's the time to start all over again, reaching for a higher level, a greater goal, a deeper purpose than before. A poor attitude says, hey, I've been working hard at pursuing excellence. I deserve a little downtime to do whatever I want. But that isn't what God says in his word. The truth is, there is no downtime to enjoy the dose of mediocrity if you want to become a person of excellence. The level of excellence I pursue in my life will determine the altitude that God will get out of my life. This is the attitude I carry into every situation of life. I'm convinced that if I press toward excellence, if I continually reach for a higher level of excellence in every area, God will have his way in my life. I'm convinced that he will never quit on me. Therefore, I will go as far as I can go in fulfilling what God has called me to do. Now, in order to maintain this attitude toward life, we have to understand the difference between success and popularity. Success has to do with the quality of the life a person lives, whereas popularity has to do with the quantity of life a person lives. Personally, I'm not interested in popularity. A person who is popular will one day have to deal with the fact that he isn't popular anymore. In fact, the day a person becomes popular is the day people will begin to reject him. That's why popularity isn't the right goal to pursue. I recently had the opportunity to see somebody who I played college football with. This man was a very popular college football athlete, and he was good at what he did. But you can see him now. I always had the mental power to him. He's a little bit overweight and worked a million times. So I have no problems with a person working a $50 as long as his goal is to own his own business one day with 30 or 40 trucks. Well, Mr. Fix is working for him. He might start out with one truck, but that doesn't mean he's going to stop there. God is bringing him through that stage of his business. He isn't bringing him to that stage so he can say, that's it. I'm not going any farther. No matter what person starts out in the area of life, that isn't where God wants that person to end. Anyway, what goes this guy, you know, who I play football with, he's overweight and chugging along with his job. Nevertheless, he still treated me with respect, just like how he did in college. I looked at this man and realized an important truth. Some people in this world were brought to a particular place in life just by virtue of where and how they grew up, who their parents were, what their parents taught them, and a couple of breaks here and there. But the truly successful individuals in life are those who may not have started out with any advantages, yet these same individuals have made a very honest and accurate evaluation of themselves and then pressed through to become a person of excellence. We have to choose the type of people we're going to be. Are we going to start off in life at a level to which our mama and daddy brought us, only to descend us into a life of one disappointment after another, where we spend our time blaming the rest of the world for what has happened to us? Or are we going to be the people for whom today is always the lowest point of the rest of our lives? If you choose to be the latter type of person, then today is always the day you say, I'm going to go farther. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to press on. I'm going to press through. I'm going to reach for God's highest. I'm going to be everything he has called me to be. A person of excellence is prosperous in his own soul. Therefore, he never has to be propped up by another person because he is already a whole person himself. With that in mind, let me stress this point. We should never enter an intimate relationship or marry someone who isn't already whole. If we do, we will consistently have to prop up that person and try to make him or her feel better. The truth is, we can only prop up people for so long so that we have to let them settle wherever they're going to settle in life. After a while, we have to let them deal with their own problems and issues themselves. Meanwhile, we need to make sure we are prospering in our own soul. That way, we'll be able to relate to other people rather than relate to them. That's what I do. I endeavor to look through every situation I face. I ask myself, why is this person saying what he is saying? Why is he acting the way he is acting? Why did this person do what he did? What's really going on here? Why? Then I make the decision that no matter what another person says or does, I will never let these words and actions change my own standard of excellence. I will never let myself be disqualified because of my relationship with someone else. We don't need other people to prop us up in life. God promises to deliver us from the difficult situations as we trust him and maintain an excellent attitude. The Bible says in 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9, that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly, and that includes every one of us.
Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym. Maybe I made you think that every shot I took was a game winner. That my game was built on flash and not fire. Maybe it's my fault that you didn't see that failure gave me strength. That my pain was my motivation. Maybe I led you to believe that basketball was a God-given gift and not something I worked for every single day of my life. Maybe I destroyed the game. Or maybe you're just making excuses.
There are people in life who will never think of telling you the truth. They just want to make you feel better. It doesn't always help you either. As I was reading the Bible this Sunday, I come across in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. It says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of the enemies are deceitful." Of course, you should be thankful for any encouragement you receive. Nevertheless, you need to make a practice of encouraging yourself in the Lord whenever you face obstacles and challenges. You'll always be the one who knows how to do it right. My self-worth doesn't have anything to do with what someone thinks about me, because if that person loves me today, tomorrow he might not love me at all. People's opinions and affections often change, but God always remains the same. That's why I don't allow my self-worth to be defined by another person. It has to be defined by God and his word. A person of excellence is personally accountable for any wrong thoughts, feelings, or actions he may experience. Therefore, he adjusts within himself when he recognizes something in his life that needs to change. When you maintain an excellent attitude, you know when you have allowed yourself to dwell on a particular thought pattern that you never should have allowed anyway. You know when you say things you never should have said. But when you recognize you have done something wrong, you deal with it. You are personally accountable, a self-adjuster. You fix the problem. You don't allow yourself to become a negative, complaining, or mediocre person. I personally cannot bear mediocrity because of God cannot bear it. I love the mediocre, but I hate mediocrity. If a person around me for any length of time, he will either stop being mediocre or he will stop coming around me, concluding that I'm too judgmental or that I expect too much of him. Or worst of all, he may think that he has been controlled or manipulated by someone else's standards. But the truth is, I don't have to say a word to someone who is always wanting to be better, a person who is continually moving toward a greater level of excellence, continually correcting himself. We must never force anyone to a point of having to confront us because of our lack of performance. Instead, we must be our own self-adjusters. We are the ones who should notify ourselves whenever we're doing something wrong. We know when there is something in our lives that needs to change. When the problem comes to our attention, we need to deal with it immediately rather than accepting the way that we are. You see, the moment we began to compromise God's standards in our lives is the moment that we began to face increasing challenges. That is also the moment we began to force other people to become tremendously long-suffering with us. And the majority of people, you know, in this world call themselves Christians. Well, they're supposed to forgive me. They're Christians. That's what a lot of them might be tempted to say. That may be true, but it's never left up to us to decide a person. It's never left up to us to decide when a person is supposed to forgive us. This is why forgiveness is the power of the forgiver, not in the complaint of the person who needs to be forgiven. And with that being said, I'm going to leave y'all with a clip right here from Ray Lewis talking about effort. And effort comes from attitude.
There's not a person on my team in 16 years that has consistently beat me to the ball every play. That ain't got nothing to do with talent. That's just got everything to do with effort. Nothing else. 15 straight years. 12 Pro Bowls later. If you want numbers. I done saw all of them. And the only thing that's kept me around is effort. So when you put on this, all I ever knew was I wasn't a number one recruit. I wasn't a number one linebacker. I wasn't even an easy guy. All I ever knew was effort would get me seen on paper. Effort will get me noticed to get to the league. Effort would one day take care of my mom and my kids. Effort, which is between you and you. Nobody else can give you effort. Effort is with inside. And I'm still grinding because the next kid is talking about it getting too old. Keep watching me if I ain't. Nobody ain't got to convince me of what I do. I do what I do because I do what I do. Because I'm built from something. And man didn't create me. Every one of you men here have that opportunity, man. But ask yourself the question personally. How much time you really waste? For real. Or do you really represent me? I represent it because it's all I have. It's the only brotherhood I ever been formed to. That's why when I see y'all perform on Saturdays, that is my people. That's why I run to the hotel. I don't need to talk to nobody before my game. I just need to see where I once came from. I sat in the same chairs you guys sat in, man. I sat around the greatest athletes in the world. And then I found myself totally different because everybody was asking the question, who is this kid? Oh, it's on again. Another thing, I ain't just talking. I'm not asking nobody here for nothing today. I'm not. I'm just sharing my story to tell y'all. Every time you think somebody got to give, man, it ain't always good. Somebody just some people just make up their mind and they just grind and say they hate with it, man. Because sometimes that's all you can do. How much of our brains are we really going to use? I use mine to tell somebody today. September 11th, when I step on the field against the Pittsburgh Steelers, if that's what God will, there's no other man out there willing to give up what I'm willing to give up. I said that in 1993, when I said I wanted to be the greatest hurricane, and the only thing that I got in the middle of all of that difference is the only thing in the fall of work is results. There's no other blue. I ain't got no other secrets. Tell y'all, I ain't come here for nothing else but to tell you, if you want to do something, work at it. You want a better relationship with God, work at it. You want to understand why pulling your pants up is important, why yes ma'am and no ma'am is important, why being in the meeting with complete silence when somebody walks in, because it's presence and essence that determines respect. That's all we're talking about. The power of respect is never to disrespect. That's why I was the first one sitting down in the meeting. Oh, I ain't got nothing to say. Y'all do y'all good. I got to listen to something out there I need to grab from.
I'm on the same football field as you, 1993. And I made a quote that some people call controversy, I call it confidence. I said that I might be the greatest player to ever walk up out of the University of Miami. I did not say that because I thought I was better than everybody else. I said that simply because I was willing to put in the work. So now I'll be back here 18 years later and tell you the only brotherhood I still have. This is where it all came from. Same path y'all went. Same cash y'all got. Same jeans y'all walking up and down. I had one pair of jeans in college for at least 2 years. At least 2 years. The question is, what are you going to do with your time? What drives you? For real, because I feel home. And when you're home, ain't nothing to say. I root for itself. That's where our fight came from. Our fight came from, we were you. I came to the University of Miami, one mind, one step, one heartbeat. It was impossible to get to us. Because if you saw us somewhere, you saw 15 or 20 of us. Gotta stop leaving each other. Gotta stop hanging out without each other. The streets ain't chasing the same things you chase. Man, the temptations out there. Just stay focused, man. As a team, though. As a team. That's all I knew when I was here. That's what kind of kept me focused. That I finally ran into a team. You guys have that same thing. Because it's you will never die. It'll never die. So it's up to you to carry that. It's up to you to carry that. Every Sunday, every Saturday, everything you talked about. I mean, listen, we're going to discuss a lot of college. But it's one college that everybody wants to talk about every Saturday. What did UM do? What did UM do? That's all everybody wants to talk about. We're going to be having the biggest game in the world. UM won yesterday. Know what you carry. You carry this you on your chest. Know what you carry, man. You carry a legacy. Legacy of greatness. Greatness is a lot of small things done well. Day after day, workout after workout, obedience after obedience, day after day. 18 years later, I'm here to say, Hurricane. We're the only thing people respect the most. Because it's something about us that makes us special.
All right, I hope everybody enjoyed that clip right there by Ray Lewis. I mean, it touched me the first time I heard it. And that brings me to the conclusion of my show. I hope everybody enjoyed their time, and I hope you can take whatever I have to say beneficial and apply it to your life. I just want to say thank you. May God bless. And whatever you do, do your best. Everybody have a good night.